broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Okay, it's Monday morning, June 11. Hold on to your seats. Sit on the edge there. Get yourself a notepad and a cup of tea. Turn off your ringer. Don't text during the show. I think you're going to enjoy the next couple of hours as we dig into the world of minerals and how Dr. Richard Olry has been working on these kinds of things for many years. Books and research that'll make your head explode. You might want to get some Tiger Tape from the Home Depot, wrap up your head so it doesn't explode, but you'll be fine. And we're going to do it here in just a second. Tomorrow, a PhD lady out of Japan and now lives in California, and she learned new early on about the miraculous benefits of a real pearl. And you maybe can research and you see the Chinese medicine and Ayurvedic medicine has used real pearl, many formulas for beauty and healing of bones, or the calcium and stuff like that, for thousands of years. Royalty used to be the only people that would get these pearls. So she figured out a way how to grind them up with no heat. And pretty cool, and we are now promoting the product, and you can actually brush your teeth with it. It's pretty amazing stuff, and it's just pure pearl and a little protein. And we're going to talk to her tomorrow. Wayne Blakely turned me on to her, said, you got to check this calcium. He said it's probably the best calcium I've ever. So, Wayne is a Living Streams guy. And then Wayne also told me about Dr. Richard Olry, this morning's guest, and not sure how these two guys hooked up, but Dr. Olry is a mineral and genetics expert, also a chiropractor. He studied the interactions of minerals for over 30 years now, made a lot of discoveries in the genome that our genome calls for 64 minerals if the trace mineral is unavailable to make the amino acid required by the DNA code. The human system will try it another way, using a different set of amino acids and minerals, and so this can affect the health. So we're going to dig into this and just see where we go during this segment, this show this morning. If you'd like to join us, 888-663-6386, email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com, patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. I've been so impressed with Wayne Blakely's work and these probiotics, these living streams that we're promoting from our website. You can click on them. And I spent most of my plus 70 years in this body, you know, wondering if I was going to poop or something. And, you know, just one of those things and always doing something to keep the bowels moving. And I've never seen my bowels move like this in my whole life on these products. And I'm kind of explained all of that, but maybe Dr. Olry has some ideas about that. But I'm pretty impressed. And just after 3 or 4 weeks, it took about 3 or 4 weeks for them to really kick in, and then OMG, as we say. Well, Mr. Olry, Dr. Olry, good morning up there in Michigan.
Well, good morning, Patrick, and it's a real pleasure to be with you.
Well, that's nice to have you here. You're up way up Northland, Michigan, right?
Yeah, we're just starting to experience warmer days. If it gets 80 today, we'll really be in a warm spell, where I understand it's quite warm in your neighborhood.
Yeah, very 100 degrees. What's your this romance that you've had with minerals? How'd that start?
Well, I was in a drugstore when I was 4 years old, and I walked up to a book, and my mother said, would you like that? It was called The Book of Rocks. So I've been exposed since I was 4 years old to the understanding of minerals and rocks, and one thing led to another, and here I am writing a book called the Chiropractor's Handbook of Cerebral Spinal Fluid to find out that there's 44 different minerals in the human brain.
What are they doing up there in the brain, Dr. Ulrey?
I'm not really sure. The reason I love Wayne is because 80% of our immune system is generally recognized as the probiotics or the good gut bacteria and all the creatures that live in us, regulating our gene code. But the 20% of that total equation is actually the fluids in the cerebral spinal fluid. And those that don't know what cerebral spinal fluid is, it's a fluid made in your brain that travels down your spine. And it's the hallmark of what chiropractors do. They move your vertebrae to make sure this fluid flows. And what I've come to realize is the 44 minerals found in the human brain control 7,000 of your 21,000 genes in your human genome.
Wait a minute. We have 21,000 genes. Are they from Gap or where are those genes from? Oh, just kidding. 21,000 genes and this 44 minerals in the brain control 7,000 out of the 21?
Absolutely fascinating world to understand that everything in the universe is made of a mineral, and our DNA code allows us to assimilate these minerals, create proteins, utilize sugar, fats, and oils to give us our human body.
Wow, that's how we evolved?
That's how God gave it to us, as far as I can tell. This is way too complicated to think that some amoeba began a million years ago and evolved into what we are.
But couldn't the amoeba kind of go from, you know, gas or something to an amoeba? You know what I mean? From God to, you know, a sound or light. And then it's possible it could just go that whole way, couldn't it?
Well, I think that sound, light, and everything is interchanged. Einstein, and nobody's disputed this yet, that energy equals mass times the speed of light. And our human body is set up to create a thought process. As a matter of fact, everything goes to create consciousness.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Consciousness is a form of energy, and prayer is a way to utilize this energy to direct your thoughts to recreate reality elsewhere through your prayers.
You bet. You bet. So I think this is how the whole epigenetic thing is going on, as we change our consciousness as soul, Dr. Ulrey, that our body is changing moment by moment. That's my theory.
Well, the Chinese have laid out this Concardian cycle 5,000 years ago, and the book that Charles Walters, the founder of Acres US, and I put together is we combine genetics, minerals, subatomic particles, and acupuncture to nail down every hour what mineral is being regenerated in the human body.
Well, and it gets regenerated how?
Energy enters the human body, according to the Chinese understanding, at about 4 in the morning, where your DNA code is at its least active period. And as time goes on, every minute and every second, your DNA code becomes more active and expands. And at 4 in the afternoon, right when iodine is starting to regenerate, a switch is flipped and the DNA code it contracts. So your DNA code is constantly expanding and contraction with every given second of a day. So at no time of the day is the frequency the same, except 12 hours opposite.
So
does that make sense?
Well, kind of, sort of. It sounded good. I didn't understand it all, but you have to talk to us like we're a young child or a golden retriever. 4 a.m. is lung time, according. Does that have any significance to the DNA thing doing something at 4 a.m.?
Well, if the lungs are regenerating at 4 a.m., and I do believe that the number one cause of cancer in the world is lung, the heart has to be strong enough to send energy to the heart. So the most obvious time in research is 4 a.m. is when most people have heart attacks.
At 4 a.m.? Well, I thought it was around noon, around heart time, or Chinese circadian heart time, but no, 4 a.m.
Well, when the heart regenerates is at least from the research I've read, you're more likely to have a heart attack between 3 and 4 in the morning, right when magnesium is needed for regeneration into the heart.
Oh. Okay, let's go back to this 40. This is great. 44 minerals in the brain. So how do we know that?
The the University of Calgary up in Manitoba, Canada, was gifted $900 million by the Canadian government. And they went and purchased the most sophisticated machinery or equipment, I'm not sure how to quite phrase that, in the world so they could detect anything to the smallest amount in anything that you would give them. If you said, here's a bottle of milk, for example, here's a bottle of milk.
What's in that stuff? We want to know what's in it.
And it turns out that human breast milk has 1,259 distinct components to the substance, over 900 different types of oils. And when they analyze quite a bit of the human body, and when they come across cerebral spinal fluid, I took an interest because that's how I pander my living is by the when it's cerebral spinal fluid. And when I started data mining these minerals, I go, my gosh, I've got to write a book on this, and I have to try to relate to the world why chiropractors who've been in business for 113 years have been ridiculed, and they say there's no scientific this or there's that, but yet we keep providing chiropractic care and helping millions of people. It's because of the changes in the immune system by the movement of this fluid and the composition of this fluid with the pack being led by minerals.
So this fluid is led by minerals, and it moves around through the cerebral spinal fluid. And you say it's 20% of the immune system. So if you have subluxations anywhere, including the classic kind of atlas area, it impinges on the flow?
That's correct. Now, we all know if we get a blood pressure that's different than 120 over 80, someone's going to want to slap us on something to help regulate these numbers.
Right.
And if you add 120 to 80, divide by 2, we carry around approximately 100 pounds pressure per square inch of our body. That's just the way we operate.
Huh.
But this fluid inside our brain, because of the way filtration goes through the body, we operate at about 20 pounds pressure per square inch. There's 64 nerves attached to the cranium. That leaves everything at about 0.3 pounds, which is, you know, 1/3 of a pound. So if you start to get the chiropractic subluxation where segments of the spine are jammed and this fluid is not draining properly, it starts to increase the pressure and it changes the functions of the entire nervous system.
Whoa. So subluxations could be a key factor in high blood pressure?
There's definitely a cause and effect to having subluxations of the atlas and of the upper thoracic, basically anywhere. Anything can cause anything, but there are more areas of the spine that are likely to drive your blood pressure up. And the atlas, the founding adjustment of chiropractic, the atlas axis, is probably the biggest player in regulation of blood pressure due to its strong influence on a nerve called the vagus nerve. And the vagus nerve is also the nerve that communicates with all the bacteria in your gut.
Wait a minute. The vagus nerve is a bacteria. It's communicating with my Living Streams probiotics. What's it saying to it?
Well, there's tremendous communication between the gut bacteria and the brain through the vagus nerves.
Oh.
The brain doesn't necessarily make a lot of stuff. It's kind of like living on Hawaii. Everything has to be imported. Everything has to be put on cargo ships and shipped in at a very good expense. Like 80% of what your brain needs is actually made by the gut bacteria for your brain to properly function and to regulate the rest of the body.
Well, if you get a probiotic that goes in and carpet bombs because you had pneumonia or something weird that you just need to do to survive, how could the brain still work if that just kills all those guys, good, bad, and other?
Well, there's always a reserve, and there's a lot of minerals in the brain that, for example, the oxidation process, thinking requires your body to utilize a lot of sugar, which generates radical oxygen, also called free radicals or oxidation. Well, there's 22 different genes associated with just the mineral selenium to control this oxidation process. And there are many, many more minerals in the brain that I don't really think that we've discovered the full potential of.
So is this an argument, Dr. Olry, for finding a really good multi-mineral supplement that provides a whole lot of them and just take those and let the body work it out rather than trying to take extra selenium or extra magnesium or extra this or that? I guess there's two ways to look at it. Or sometimes we need to take extra magnesium or selenium as a medicine rather than as a, what do you think?
Well, I look at minerals in terms of physics.
Yeah.
The grand unified theory of everything that people are trying to postulate revolves around gravity, magnetism, weak and strong electrical forces. I view gravity as the number of electrons around any given mineral. I look at magnetism of the mineral that has an electric charge. Now, when you think of electric charges, take something simple like salt, sodium chloride. Mm-hmm. Sodium has a charge of plus one, and plus ones want to attract to negative one, and chloride fits the bill. Sodium chloride is a plus one, minus one. All minerals have electrical charges. Some minerals have multiple electrical charges where we only need one of those multiple electric charges. Now, once you have iron in your system and you have calcium and magnesium making your muscles contract and your heart beating, that generates strong electrical forces. You can do an EEG and measure it in the brain. You can do an EKG and measure it through the heart. But those generate the weak magnetic fields, and you could call those weak magnetic fields acupuncture energy meridians. You could call them chakras. You can look at the body's weak magnetic energy in multiple ways. I choose acupuncture because it's such a well-established way, and the maps of the weak magnetic energy of the body are cited through this. So if I look at minerals in terms of gravity, magnetism, weak and strong electrical forces, I came up with the most powerful four minerals needed in any multiple vitamin to be effective would be iodine, selenium, magnesium, and boron. Those are the key players that keep your genetic code working to the laws of physics.
Iodine, selenium, magnesium, and boron. I mean, good old borax, you can get it at the store.
Well, you know, down in Australia, where they're not allowed to buy
borax,
boron in the health, they eat borax.
Well, I mean, yeah, I do. I put like a teaspoon of borax in a quart of water and then do a teaspoon of that little borax solution every morning. I don't know.
Well, the number one mineral found in cerebral spinal fluid by far and above all the other put together is sodium.
Sodium.
So people that go on these low sodium diets because they've been directed so to help keep their blood pressure down because they probably have an atlas, a malposition, they cut back on the sodium and now you can't get other minerals in cerebral spinal fluid, such as boron. Boron was an absolute shocker. It's the second most abundant mineral in cerebral spinal fluid.
Mm.
And that to me was profound. And when I tried to grapple with all the ramifications of this new knowledge, it just overwhelmed me. So I actually, for the past 3 years, have been writing a book on just boron and its impact on the human body. And every time I get where I'm halfway comfortable, more information comes out, and I scrap the book and I start again, like I did this past spring. I went to Canada, put 2 weeks in, and then I said, well, I got to redo it.
Really?
I don't like it.
So,
yeah. So
if we just go out and eat organic foods from the hippie food store, do you think we're getting enough boron that's so critical?
As long as you're eating the fruits, because fruits is where all the boron is. Huh. You don't find boron in meat. Boron's not something that's found routinely in trace amounts except in your fruits. And we've all heard of the word fruit sugar as in fructose. Fructose found in fruit is always found with boron. In our society, we've stripped the fructose away from everything and we saturate our carbon dioxide-based waters with high fructose corn syrup. And in my thoughts and reading, we're dragging all the boron out of the body.
Oh, so the HFC pulls the boron out.
Oh, well, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Just one thing. Dr. Richard Ulrey is with us. Boy, I tell you what, your head's going to explode here. You're going to understand more about the human body. We're going to do a little primer. This is like a health class that nobody has ever done before. We try to provide cutting-edge information on One Radio Network. We continue to do it. God, the angels just keep sending us people like Dr. Ulrey, Richard, Wayne Blakely, and others, and Stephanie Seneff, the glyphosate gal, and just cool people. They just keep coming our way. And then we present them to you for your listening and dancing pleasure. I pointed a profound experience with the mold relief product from Wayne Blakely. I've told you about it. If you're new to the show here, I'm in a straw bale house, and every now and again, straw bale's not the problem, but now and again, you can get some cracks on the outside, some small cracks because the foundation moves a little bit. But the real issue was in my sheetrock this sheetrock just molds. It just does. And I had a leak in my roof from a poor design I won't get into it, in my living room one time. And that leak was there for about 2 years. And we opened that puppy up. This is about 5 years ago. And man, it was just black city. I mean, there was like a bunch of mold. So this sheetrock, if you get any kind of dampness and even the humidity out of the air, will mold. A bowl biologist by the name of George Swanson that you can Google or do our search engine for our shows, George Swanson, and he says that all of the sheetrock engineered in China that's sold here in this country, the regular stuff you get at the Home Depot, will mold over time. It's just kind of engineered to do that. Not from a tinfoil hat, cynical thing, but they don't know any better. But it picks up humidity from the air. Anyway, I use the mold relief, as Wayne taught me to do. I had one of those foggers, and you can get one of those foggers in our store. We don't have a financial interest in the fogger, but this is the one they use. And get this mold product, and you dilute it, and you can do about 8,000 square feet. And I'm still doing it. I'm just going to keep doing it till my mold relief runs out. But you can spray all of your sheetrock, spray all of your floors. And there was a palpable difference in the way this home felt in my bedroom and bathroom. I mean, 20 minutes after I did it. I mean, you could feel the difference. There's just no doubt that we went after some stuff. And then I nebulized a little bit of this mold product, 7-1, which I don't recommend you do. It's really strong. And I had flu symptoms like you couldn't believe for, 24, 48 hours after I did it. So I don't recommend you do the nebulizing of this product. It's just too strong because, anyway, if you'd like to check it out, go on the front page of One Radio Network, get the mold relief. You can call Marilyn and get more information. And her phone number is 360-912-2981. Or email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Pretty magical stuff, and I do your whole home. Just do it, because who knows? I mean, who really knows?
I don't believe I've heard such a concise, clear explanation of what EMFs could possibly do to the body than recently with Dr. Lee Cowden.
Now, electromagnetic fields are multiply problematic because the electromagnetic fields will disrupt the membrane barrier. So it disrupts the gut barrier and allows more toxins to get from the gut into the bloodstream. It disrupts the blood vessel barrier, so you get more toxins from the bloodstream out into the tissues. It disrupts the blood-brain barrier, which allows more toxins from the bloodstream to get into the brain. And the electromagnetic fields are screwing up the electrical charge across the cell membrane. The health of a cell is determined primarily by the electrical charge across the cell membrane. But when you expose a cell to electromagnetic field, that charge across the cell membrane diminishes over time. And so the cell becomes sicker and sicker and sicker. Now, in addition, research from Europe shows that whenever you expose microbes to electromagnetic fields, they grow faster and produce more biotoxins. So we know that funguses, for example, will produce as much as 600 times more biotoxin or mycotoxin if they are outside of a Faraday cage compared to being inside of a Faraday cage in the same environment.
So as you know, the only way to absolutely be protected from all EMFs is live in a Faraday cage, but that's probably not very practicable. We have the Blue Shield technology through Brandon Amalani. We think this is a very, very effective way to build your body's immunity with the cells. Look at the technology, talk to Brandon, email him, look at it closely, research it, and see what you think. Blue Shield, right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com.
Mary Pickford used to eat roses, thought that they'd make her beautiful, and they did. One supposes. Douglas Fairbanks, he was so handsome. He wore a mustache, must have had much cash too. Worth the king's ransom. Charlie Chaplin, he was invited when these artists became united.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
We're talking with Dr. Richard Ulrey up in Michigan, or down in Michigan, if you're listening in Canada. Up and down, probably not an up and down on the earth. Well, really knows a lot about minerals, genetic expert. Several books, working on another one about the spinal fluid. So we kind of get, I mean, we don't understand as much as you and Wayne, and you guys understand how the bacteria. Can you explain to us, before we get to the spinal fluid, more? I just want to keep understanding how the bacteria work the immune system. Can you explain? Wayne has explained it to me, and, you know, I get a little bit, and I miss some. And what's your take on helping us understand how that works?
Well, my simple attempt to explain this is, for an example, I lectured to 30 naturopathic doctors that were in practice. And my first question is, why do you give your patients vitamins? And they looked at me startled. Well, you know, if you have a deficiency of this, you have that. If you have this deficiency, you have this. And I go, your gut bacteria is designed to make all of your vitamins. So if you're giving your patients vitamins, that means your gut bacteria is not making the vitamins for the body in question. I said, assuming you straighten out the gut and we've got all the right bacteria doing all the right things, making vitamins, then my next question to him is, why do you need vitamins? And they looked at me perplexed, and I said, the reason you need vitamins is so you can absorb minerals.
So you can absorb. So the gut bacteria in a perfect world makes the vitamins, and that helps to absorb the minerals in the food?
Absolutely. A mineral like sodium that is needed so badly will passably absorb. But there are a lot of minerals that require carrier proteins to get them in, because you got every mineral has a given period of storage time so that you don't run into acute deficiencies or acute toxicities, and it buffers it. An example of a mineral that is not like that is boron. Boron is water soluble. It's not one of those minerals that's oil soluble. So if you decided, well, I'm going to start taking a bunch of boron right now, and you did a bunch of it one time, in a few hours it'll peak out, and by the nighttime most of it may be in the bathroom, going out to the tank out back. Some of these minerals take a while to get in and build up. Other ones can get in and get out really quick. It just depends on the mineral. So we need vitamins from our gut bacteria so we can absorb minerals, and then minerals provide a resonant frequency. Every mineral put into an MRI at a 100% purity, with the dial set at 100 equaling hydrogen, the most abundant mineral in the universe, including the human body, we can then generate a frequency very specific to each mineral, and those minerals carry these frequencies into the body, and multiple minerals will give you a frequency that allows all of our proteins to have individual distinct frequencies, giving that three-dimensional structure.
Man, you just can't make this stuff up. I mean, it's totally a God thing.
It is, and I make it up as I go. No, I'm just kidding.
I can tell you do. Yeah, it doesn't make this stuff up. Wow. Well, to defend the naturopath you talk to, they give the minerals because most of their patients probably don't have the right biome in the gut, so they're not doing their thing, right?
That's correct.
Yeah,
and this is where Wayne's products, Living Stream, and that's the only primary products I carry. And it's tough to get people to swallow an expensive bill when you say you need this, because to get him to make it and ship it to me overnight and keep it in stock, because it's got to come overnight and it's got to be specially packaged, it's not the cheapest endeavor. But when you do a stool test and it says you don't have any bifidobacteria, well, if you don't have any bifidobacteria, you're not going to you're not going to absorb certain minerals. If you don't have any lactobacillus, you're not going to absorb certain minerals. And I think a classic understanding of using a biopsy of the human body, which would be a hair test, is the amount of lithium we find in hair being deficient. And I personally see 1 in 4, 1 in 5 people that just don't even register lithium in their hair, where a colleague of mine, a naturopath out on the West Coast, Dr. Mishley, she's a Parkinson's researcher, and she tells me that only 1 in 2 people have lithium in their hair in her clinical setting.
And lithium is critical to the Parkinson's things that could be going on in our culture? The lack of it?
Lithium is responsible probably for a segment of brain regeneration and keeping people happy.
Yeah.
I mean, what's startling to people in the news this past week is to find out that suicide is now the 10th leading cause. It's now overtaken car accidents and all kinds of things.
I saw that, yeah. What's up
with that? Well, that's very sad, because when you start analyzing the brains of people that have committed this ultimate act, they don't seem to have lithium in their system. So this goes back to gut bacteria health. Our body makes something called vitamin B13. Well, gosh, when they were trying to figure out what was really necessary for us to take and what we just naturally make, our body naturally makes vitamin B13, or at least it used to, and this is called ortic acid. And when ortic acid encounters lithium in the food chain being digested by bacteria, it latches on and calls itself lithium orotate. So we can give people trace amounts of lithium, the manically depressed and the bipolars take 500, 1,000 milligrams of lithium a day, and we're utilizing 5 or 10, and in 3 months, we're seeing the hair normal, and we're seeing people, loved ones, say the glass is no longer half empty, it's now become half full, just because of this trace mineral that has been lost through something in the food chain that's not letting the bacteria do its job right.
Something in the food chain. So Wayne talked about the idea that you need the bacteria to break down the minerals in the clay in the soil. And this bacteria with farming, I guess, the last 50 years is not there. Is that right?
Well, there's a lot into that.
Yeah, I guess there's a big question, right?
Well, I look at digestion as your gut bacteria signal to the brain, I'm hungry. Mm-hmm. So your eyes, you know, may look for food. Your nose may smell food. You taste it. You chew it. When you chew it, it mixes with saliva. You got 18,000 taste buds that register in the back of the brain. This is what's coming down. Mm. You got stomach acid. You have pancreas juices, gallbladder juices. And then that stomach acid is the key, because not a lot of people are making enough stomach acids these days. So the bacteria that would be normally killed off from the everyday environment that make it into your stomach aren't getting killed off. They're slipping past the number one defense mechanism of your digestive tract, which is these digestive enzymes, and your people's guts are now getting colonized with bacteria that should never be there.
Like H. pylori or whatever. Something.
Oh, yeah.
One of those.
Whatever,
yeah. Yeah. So do you have any theories on how the gut bacteria gets lowered in humanity?
Well, probably.
I mean, I'm sorry. The acid. Sorry.
Well, the acid at the age 40 to 45, depending on the individual, because of just malabsorption or the incomplete absorption of food, we're not making enough hydrochloric acid. The big push for the past 50 years is to stop salt, because it causes blood pressure problems. And, you know, everybody's like, do you put salt on your food? Oh, no, I don't want high blood pressure. We can thank a few primary companies that added aluminum to the salt many years ago, and then they baked it so it would pour under any conditions. That really took a lot of people down the wrong path, so they blamed salt.
Yeah.
And then a lot of our canned foods and our box foods is so high in sodium that it's out of balance with other minerals, because it's not a natural way to get it.
Yeah. So the idea of 40 or 50 and losing the stomach acid could be correct, as many natural doctors are saying, but I don't think there's enough evidence to prove that it's just a God thing. It just happens when you're 40 or 50 because it's time to fade out. I would conjecture, and I don't know what I'm talking about because who knows, but that over time, poor diet, whatever, glyphosates, whatever, stress, that it catches up with you around that time and it's being blamed on, quote, age, unquote.
Well, I think once your body starts making the appropriate amount of stomach acid, you basically start living off your reserves. I've done enough tissue biopsies in the hair analysis looking at 38 of the 44 minerals to see many, many trends. And you can look at a hair analysis and just go, look, this guy, I don't care if he's eating the best organic food in the world, he's not absorbing what he's eating. Something is faulted in the digestive tract.
Right. So, and we're going to give an email if folks want to get a hair analysis through you. That'd be kind of fun because, as you know, and I believe, is this correct, that it's one thing to get a hair analysis, but to get a proper diagnosis and reading the ratios and all of that, that's what's important, is it, to know what's going on?
Well, yeah, it's like picking up a book of Latin. If you don't have a grounding in the words in the Latin language, you can't read the book. I get a hair test, and I've given them to some very intelligent people. They look at this, they go, look, Richard, I don't know this language. What does all this mean? I go, well, let's start at the top. The top half of the minerals are minerals we should not find in you, for anything from aluminum to titanium, including mercury, lead, cadmium, barium, et cetera, et cetera. These minerals can go in with their electron frequencies and their electron valences and stuff. They can interfere with the good minerals. Then we check you out from calcium all the way down to rubidium and try to find out where your needed minerals are. So we try to dump the bad minerals somehow, some way, and put the needed minerals in. And we go back and whatever program we lay out, 3 or 4 months, depending on the person, could be 6 months. We go back and retest to see if the body is excreting these minerals through the hair. And, you know, people would say, well, you know, what the heck has your hair got to do with this? 3 years ago, they've proven beyond a doubt that the cerebral spinal fluid, a segment of that, besides going down into you, into your nerves and stuff, actually leaks out into your lymphatics, and it's close enough to the scalp that it bleeds these minerals out of you to be shed.
Wow.
So we can pick up on these minerals, these 44 minerals, and I'm working with a hair company right now that may offer in the near future all 44 minerals found in the human brain leaking out to give clinicians the best foot forward in helping people that have imbalances.
I've often wondered if you see high copper or high mercury or whatever in the hair analysis, Dr. Ulrey, how do we know if it's what the body's trying to get rid of it because you got enough, or if you don't have enough? I mean, how do you know?
That it's a very easy question to ask and harder to and more complicated to answer. For example, let's say that you don't think that Roundup is bad for you and you could care less about eating organic food. Well, we know in the plant kingdom that Roundup is there to, its greatest influence is on a mineral called manganese. And if I see that a hair test kind of looks like you're weak, but yet all the manganese is in the red line, meaning you're dumping it all out of you, well, we know that your diet has influenced the body's excretion of manganese. And then once manganese gets messed up, a lot of other minerals are also going to be directly affected.
Oh, so the glyphosates could be screwing up the manganese and forcing it out of the body?
That's what I've talked to Dr. Don Huber about, and I said, look, Don, I'm getting all these hair tests with the manganese through the roof, and he says, that's glyphosate pushing it out.
Wow.
Another example is, say, cadmium. Now, cadmium and zinc have a lot in common, so if the body starts loading up on cadmium, it directly will affect the zinc levels. Minerals that have the same electron valence can often affect other minerals. There's barium found in water around in many places. And if I see barium really high, it has a profound effect on calcium, magnesium, and strontium. And until you get rid of the barium, it affects other minerals, particularly when it comes to, say, osteoporosis and the aging of the bone structure where all of our blood cells, our red blood cells and our white blood cells are made.
So Dr. Seneff talks a lot about the glyphosates and the whole sulfur cycle. So this glyphosate must mess with a lot of different minerals that we're not even aware of yet?
Well, according to Dr. Don Huber, who I think is probably the greatest expert in this, and I've talked with him many times about this, glyphosate goes after minerals that have a positive charge. And the number one mineral it affects is manganese, followed by copper, zinc, calcium, magnesium, boron, and there's others that just get involved. One thing that's hard for people to comprehend, and when I say this and people know a lot about glyphosate, they'll find out that this is accurate. Roundup is actually an antibiotic, and it's utilized in the soil to wipe out the bacteria so plants cannot absorb minerals.
Yes. Wow. So do we know of anything that helps the body to exit the glyphosate's residues if we go out to eat a GMO food? Out of the body?
I'm sure there is something out there, but I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if the C60 thing could do that.
Well, that's what I'm hoping, you know, Wayne and other people that think like Wayne will be able to come up and tell us.
Yeah.
Right now, my motto, if it's not organic, panic.
If it's not organic, panic, do not eat it. Do not.
And you don't. Yeah. And you have to have your water tested for it, too. Dr. Huber, we were both lecturing last year at a conference, and the small room was full of all the speakers. And I said, Don, I says, last year you said Roundup was in 80% of the groundwater of the United States. I says, where do you think that number is? And he says, Richard, probably all of it.
Really? So I wonder, do you know what kind of water filter systems get rid of the glyphosates? Do you think distilling does, or do you know?
That's what my next question was. I says, Don, is these GE Roundup, I says, the GE reverse osmosis from Home Depot going to get it out? And he says, nope. And I don't quite understand why not, because the water molecule is pretty small. And as far as I know, the only thing that goes beyond that would say be some type of a fluoride molecule, which is smaller than water. So the answer is, I'm not really sure. I wouldn't want to state today to the listeners, this is what you're going to do to get rid of Roundup, because I don't know if what I'd say is going to be accurate.
Yeah, we just don't know, huh? Yeah.
Somebody might know, but I don't.
Wayne was suggesting that you can get a charcoal filter, I think from bone or something. And I want to check that out, because I'm on
Charbone.
Is it Charbone or something that will actually get after fluoride because it's so small? Maybe it'll get after. I wonder, is there a place you could test your water to see if there's glyphosates in there?
Yes, there is. But let's go back to your comment on fluoride. Many people have relatives that are older, and there are many, many operations that people get put under for. And when people, quote, get put under, when the event is over, they need to wake back up. And some people don't wake back up as fast as other people wake back up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big deal. Now, what is the mineral they use to knock you out?
I don't know.
Fluoride.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. And I had... 3 years ago, I had elbow reconstruction. I tried to be a pro hockey player and use my body too much when I was younger. Developed some scar tissue, and I had to have a nerve translocated. So I'm laying on the table, getting ready to go under, and the anesthesiologist walked in. I says, you're not going to knock me out with fluoride. He says, yeah, well, there's nothing else. Of course I'm going to knock you out with fluoride. Well, I knew this.
Really?
The two most important minerals that you can put into your system before one of these events is boron and selenium.
Huh.
I did a lot of boron and a lot of selenium before this event, and when they turned the fluoride machine off, so to speak, I immediately become awake, and I watched the surgeon walk away from the table. And I said to the surgeon, I said, Joe, what'd you find in my elbow? He said, I ain't gonna talk to you. And the nurse goes, Dr. Ulrey, you don't understand. You're just waking up from anesthesia and you won't remember any of this. And I looked at her and I said, dear, what's your name? And she said, it's Billy Joe. And I says, Billy Joe, you just had a cigarette. And I don't appreciate you in this way, operating room, smelling like tobacco. And she looked at the surgeon. She says, I really think he's awake.
I didn't think he's awake.
I never did go back to sleep for 22 hours. But that's how fast I was able to rid my brain of that fluoride. Was as soon as they turned it off, I was able to wake up.
So what'd you do? Kind of just, you really boned up on boron and selenium before you went under?
Oh, for 3 weeks, I did 600 micrograms of selenomethionine, and I did 15 milligrams of calcium borogluconate.
Wow, that sounds pretty fancy. And you don't, there's not an issue with Odeine on that stuff? The body will just get rid of what you don't need, or how does that work?
Well, the boron is water-soluble. Yeah. It takes almost 500 milligrams of boron to do yourself in as compared to other minerals. Like the average American gets 1.5 to 3 milligrams a day. The average Korean, which has very low cancer breast rates, they're getting 70 out of their diet. So it just depends where you live and the food chain you're in.
Do we know, and I'll ask Wayne, do we get boron out of the living streams, multi-mineral thing? Is there boron in there?
No, I don't. Possibly in his clay probiotic, but I don't know the breakdown on that.
What's the name of that product? Which one?
I think that was his product that's got the zeolite in it.
Oh, yeah, the zeolife, yeah.
Yeah, I think the zeolite, if anything's going to have bioavailable boron from living streams, that would be the zeolite, because I believe there's always boron found in volcanic ash.
Right. So Wayne said that they did a test on the living streams out of the 80 or something. I think they found, what was it? Do you know, 56, 57 or something?
86 different minerals, if I remember. I listened to the show here just a few weeks ago.
With his living
again,
streams probiotics.
Yeah.
So do
yeah.
you think if we take that regularly, I mean, that we get, we're going to get all these minerals we need, or do we need to do more selenium?
Well, what's your opinion? You know, my opinion, I look at the entire periodic table, and when Chuck Walters and I wrote the book, Minerals for the Genetic Code, there's a lot of these minerals that we did not put in the book. And when people say, what do you think about this river bottom that's got 106 minerals in it? I go, look, I think that some of these minerals could masquerade themselves as boron. Boron is one of these minerals that's a +3 mineral. Now, we need boron because it's the second most abundant mineral in the brain. And boron is the only mineral out of all of them that can accept radiation of all forms without changing the basic makeup of the thing.
Wow.
Well, for example, if a person unfortunately drinks the wrong type of material and gets hooked up with something called a glioblastoma, which is a brain cancer, you can radiate the brain, and the brain doesn't really get damaged from radiation, say like the liver or the pancreas or something else, you know, that gets devastated by radiation. It's because the boron levels in the brain are so astronomically high compared to the rest of the body. And this is why the damage does not occur in these tissues around the brain.
What do you think about my little formula of a teaspoon and a quart of water is a borax? Do you think that's a reasonable thing to do?
Unless you're not able to get calcium borogluconate or there's two forms of boron that are actually out there that you can get in supplemental form. To answer your question, if you don't have anything else, that would be a way to get it if you feel the need to, if your hair test or some testing mechanism comes back that you need to take a lot of extra.
Oh, I see. A hair test would tell me, but so for now, well, I'm just going to assume that I'm getting it in the zeolife and call it a day. But you know, hair testing actually shows up boron. I've done hair tested before, and I've never seen boron show up.
Well, there's only a handful of companies out there. You got the boys down in Texas are doing it. Doctors Data in Chicago does it. Mm-hmm. I know of a company in Australia that does it. And I just recently found a new company up in Toronto, Ontario that's doing hair tests. And they're the gentlemen, the folks I'm talking to, about expanding the hair test to include every mineral found in cerebral spinal fluid to coincide with my new book. They were very willing to sit down and talk. I'm going up to the Toronto area in the next 2 weeks to have a sit down and then share my material with them. Because it's not hard for them to add a few pages to their and to get you the results. They just say, we just need to know what to look for.
Oh, that's cool. We got some emails coming in. We're going to get to them all. We're going to be around here till about 11 or so. Patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Let's take this phone call for Dr. Olry. Good morning. On the air, who's this? On the telephone?
Yes, hi, Dr. Olry and Patrick. This is RJ in Houston.
Okay, hi.
This question is in line with what you were just saying, Dr. Olry. I have a product in my hand. Hopefully I can mention a name. It's called Intramen. It's by Drucker Labs. And there's an Intramax. And I won't bore you with all the 72 minerals, but the ones that kind of worry me are the ones that are like gladninium, palladium, titanium, you know, and all those scary ones. Is that okay to take in trace amounts?
Most of the minerals that you've just mentioned that you see in there that are above and beyond minerals for the genetic code that Chuck and I laid out have an electric charge of +2. Now, the opposite of +2 is -2, and the mineral that protects us from mercury, cadmium, beryllium, barium, mercury, etc., including titanium and the ones you did, most of those minerals have a +2. So if you have adequate selenium in the body, it will sequester them so that they're going to be they're not going to interact and misbehave and also set up for elimination through the liver and gallbladder.
And being as they're found in the soil and plants and all that, I guess there is some purpose for them in some small, small trace amount or none
very,
at all?
It's very possible. You know, plants are very unusual because they pick up a lot of minerals in the soil. It's just amazing that, of course, plants have 300,000 genes where we have 24, and they have a much tougher environment to live in, everything from 120 degrees to 80 below, and every creature that could crawl on the earth that could possibly invade them. So they may utilize minerals that are completely different than, say, the human DNA code. Now, you can go to the bottom of the ocean and be where there's no sunlight, and it's so hot in these vents that it'll melt lead. They're still using a genetic code, and there's life. There's bacteria. There's actually critters that live in this type of environment. So all the different codes God put on Earth can use different things in different ways. Most of my reference is into the human biology side.
Okay, Robert, thanks for the call. Good question. So the ocean has, what, 108 minerals? Something like that?
Something like, 113.
And is it true that they're all in the exact proportion as a human body and blood?
I've heard that, but I'm not 100% sure that I could cite that in literature.
Okay. So can we absorb a little bit of ocean water?
Probably a little bit, but I'm not sure what ocean I would eat out of these days.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I know that. And is it true that grass is one of the number one species on the planet that absorbs more minerals than anything?
Well, it's biblically spoken that all life is grass, or all flesh is grass. The ability to look at Genesis number one, where there's a splitting of the waters. Well, in ocean water, you have a mineral called deuterium, and that's two drops per quart. And at one point, there was nothing but water and deuterium. And when you start splitting deuterium, you end up getting water and light.
Whoa.
And that the whole photosynthesis act is the separation of water from deuterium. You have H2O, which is hydrogen dioxide, and then you have D2O, which is deuterium dioxide. And the human body doesn't really like or want too much deuterium in it. It might be a mineral we need trace amounts, but if we don't have an appropriate disposal system, it can mess up mitochondrial function. And in plants, the conversion of light to energy is without deuterium. So this is where light conversion of energy starts from the grass, and it's like everything kind of lives off this grass as we move up the food chain.
Wow. There's a fad out there now. People are looking for deuterium-free water. Have you seen that? And they're just thinking, if you get deuterium-free water, you're going to be leaping tall buildings with a single bound and get a nest on your chest. It's just kind of interesting.
Well, it is interesting, and it's not hard to make your own deuterium-free water. You just take some good filtered water, throw it in a jar, throw it in the freezer, and the first water that freezes in that jar is going to be deuterium. So when you get a skim of ice, you just knock a hole in the ice and dump it into another jar and do it twice, and you've basically been able to freeze a lot of that deuterium out of your water.
But, I mean, deuterium can't be terrible if God put it in the water. I mean, come on.
You have to have the ability to control it and excrete it. In northern Michigan, we have these beautiful birch trees, and as they start to die off, they create what's called a fungus or a mold on it. It's called plate fungus, and then the average person would know it as something called chaga.
Chaga. Oh, yeah, chaga.
You take chaga, and it helps your body rid itself of excess deuterium.
That's one of the few benefits that I've never heard about chaga. And we promote several different chagas that are really cool. How be doing?
So chaga. Well, that's the only thing I know chaga good for.
Really? Well, it's a medicinal mushroom supposed to really, doesn't it jazz up the immune system in general? I don't know.
Well, they've taken people that have terminal brain cancers. There's four different types of cancers that they take stage 4 people that are terminal, and they'll get 6 more months of life out of the body by giving them deuterium-free water because it lowers the deuterium. You have to understand that deuterium dioxide and hydrogen dioxide, in other words, water or deuterium, they have different principles. They melt different. They freeze different. They have different energies. And if the body mistakenly uses deuterium in place of water, whatever it's associated with has those principles of deuterium and not water, and it can gum up the works, so to speak.
Hope you don't. So it almost makes a nice argument for, you know, if somebody has a nice shaga or a reishi, to have a little bit of that ongoing, you know, not every day, but, you know, whatever. It would make sense to have these different tools, wouldn't it? It seems like it would help everything keep balanced out.
Patrick, the whole name of the game is to live a long life, and the only way you can do that is to have good genetic stability.
Hmm.
And the genetic stability comes about at the end of your chromosomes, are called telomeres. And every time a gene is used, it sheds a telomere, and you need to go back and regenerate that telomere. And the last time we had talked, I shared with you that the Arizona State University came out and said, here's the genetic sequence. Here's the holy grail of aging. And to my surprise, they had the genetic sequence in the paper. Well, I looked at the sequence and smiled, and I says, well, gosh, I wrote a book about that. That's Minerals for the Genetic Code, and that genetic sequence converted back to the two most important minerals in the end stage of telomere regeneration, being hydrochloric acid and sulfur.
The two most important minerals to staying young are hydrochloric acid and sulfur?
Yes, correct. That's a simplistic point of view from looking at telomere regeneration. You've got an enzyme called reverse telomerase. You've got this whole TERT complex, and people have been studying and looking at this and trying to come up with a grasp of how do we in a healthy way keep our telomeres regenerating properly. Cancer cells can have a runaway telomere problem, because they've been immortalized and the genetic sequence has gone rogue because of viruses. And you don't want to have long telomeres on cancer cells. You want them cancer cells to commit suicide. You only want your healthy cells to have adequate telomere regeneration. Well, they come out with the genetic sequence and it says chlorine and sulfur. Now, the article didn't say that. The genetic sequence they put into that article, when you convert that genetic sequence out of the book Minerals for the Genetic Code, you end up with those two minerals as being major players in telomere regeneration. So now all the other minerals can be looked at as a favorable telomere regeneration or a negative telomere regeneration. So if you look at lead, well, that's a negative telomere regeneration. If you look at excess arsenic, that's a negative telomere regeneration. If you look at magnesium, that's a very positive telomere regeneration. So there's, I'm in the process of sorting out all the good and the bad, and then coming up with a working way of looking at all the minerals in relationship to a hair tissue mineral analysis. And I can tell you, most of the minerals on the bad side, lead, mercury, thorium, thallium, uranium, this type of stuff, they don't fare well with your DNA code.
They don't fare well with DNA code, yeah. And the things like sulfur, we've been told that they help to get these guys out, right?
Sulfur is such a versatile molecule, and I am not up to speed like Dr. Senoff is on sulfur. I know that it's like a critical portion of the ability to make a protein. I know it's a critical portion of a few of the amino acids. They're called sulfur-bearing amino acids. And I know sulfur has a profound effect on the ability to utilize oxygen. So when I took a look at sulfur and chlorine on the 24-hour cycle in relation to the acupuncture meridians, we find out that 11 o'clock at night, sulfur is regenerating, and at midnight, chlorine is regenerating. So they're back-to-back minerals. And then if you go to the acupuncture chart, you find out that the gallbladder is key to both of these minerals.
Oh, and that's the gallbladder time is 11 to 1, right?
You've got it. That's the gallbladder time.
Wow, that's cool.
It's pulling the energy in and it's pushing it out for the gallbladder. And just think of all the people that don't have a gallbladder or don't have a good working gallbladder.
Wow. I wonder if we'd take a little sulfur, because we have a pure sulfur product we've been promoting for 5 years that people just really like. I don't know. It helps them feel better. I wonder if you would take a little bit before 11 o'clock. Would that help, you think, or hurt? I don't know.
Taking it is better than not taking it. My limited experience is a dear friend of mine, Dr. Allen. He says, don't take it before you go to bed. You'll be up all night. It gives you too much energy.
Well, we've had people report that they remember their dreams for the first time in their life after they take the sulfur, and I've never been able to figure out why that is.
Yeah. Probably, I can't answer that question either, but here's what we can say.
If you're on a game show, and you had to answer the question for a new Maserati, and they knew the right answer, what would you say? Sorry.
I'd give them what they want to hear.
That's right. So what do you think they would think the answer would be? Why sulfur would help you remember your dream experiences?
Well, let's go back.
Okay.
Just one step, and I'm going to say for every reaction, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So if energy enters the body at 4 a.m. and peaks out at 4 p.m., go to high noon. See, at midnight, you got chlorine regenerating, and if you go to high noon, you got boron regenerating. So if you got boron regenerating at high noon, and you do your sulfur at high noon, you may be able to activate that chloride channels in your brain at midnight.
Oh, okay. That sounds good. I like that. Timing.
We're at 11 o'clock. Yeah. So I tend to take mine between 11 and 12 because if I've got gallbladder patients that are waking up at midnight with heartburn and they're just terrible, and the gallbladder's not telling the stomach how to make enough acid or the stomach can't make enough acid, I don't tell them to drink a bunch of beet juice at midnight. I say, take it at high noon. We'll get the same effect. For every reaction, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Oh, so that would be high noon solar time. So daylight savings, you would do it at...
something like that.
Yeah, something like that. 1 o'clock, you know. Banker's time, you know, they change the time. 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Stay right there, Doc. Great stuff. I told you you'd be on your edge of your seat here this morning, and we have more, so you stay right there. If you'd like to try some Shaga, so it sounds like a reasonable thing to have in your diet from time to time. It gets rid of excess deuterium and stuff like that, and Shaga has, and Rishi has been known to work on the immune system, the endocrine support, the auric value is greater than blueberry. It's super oxide dismutase, you know. Our Shaga from Sir Thrival is wild harvested in New England, dual extraction using organic menstruum. It's bonded in superior violet myron glass, made from wild-crafted mushrooms, fruited bodies. This is the real deal. Now, if you're going to go out and you want to take some Shaga regularly, you can go on Amazon and probably buy something really on the cheap
in a capsule. You have no idea where it's been. You have no idea where it comes from. You have no idea how they make it. You just have no idea. Our trademark is Know the Source. Daniel Vitalis has been selling Chaga forever. And it's as you just heard, it's the real deal. So, an Easter Thrival link, OneRadioNetwork.com. You can get Chaga. You can get Reishi. Get the D3K2 Sunlight, which is made from some really nice ingredients. If you want to do a little K2 in your diet and get a little D3, it is made from... I can't find the ingredients right here, but I'll find it. Anyway, every time I look for it, I can never find the exact ingredients. Where is it? I'm going to do it. Okay. So Thrival D3K2 Daylight Concentrate, lanolin and natto, suspended in olive oil, infused with a proprietary blend of aloe vera, goji fruit, shilajit, and pleasantly flavored with natural peppermint. That's natto D3K2, and that's the D3 and the K2 in Sir Thrival products. See, I mean, do we have the good stuff? And this product is really cool from Daniel. It's on sale right now.
Previously with Daniel Vitalis, talking about elk velvet antler from Sir Thrival.
Elk antler or deer antler products are probably the most regenerative substance that we can find in nature, at least for mammals. A couple things that I think are really cool about it is that it's got six types of collagen.
That's really
amazing. When you think about the antler of an elk or a deer, these are an organ that grow in just 3 months' time and then fall off, and the very next year they grow back. Mammals don't typically regenerate organs that fall off, but antlers from all of the cervid mammals are completely regenerated. In order for them to regenerate, they need to contain substances that cause regeneration, and that's like the 24 growth factors that we find in elk velvet antler.
Regeneration, we like that word. Growth factors, we love that word. For boys and girls, that's you. Exclusively from Sir Thrival and exquisitely produced, Daniel Vitalis, OneRadioNetwork.com.
Previously with Andrew Goss, I asked him why would someone want to buy coins from his company?
So if you don't know coins, you better know your coin dealer. And, you know, you shouldn't buy coins from someone who isn't well-known registered dealer. So if they're an NGC dealer, they're registered with NGC. If they're a PCGS dealer, they're registered with PCGS. Ask questions. Don't just, oh yeah, here's 10 grand or 50 grand or 150 grand. I just want to buy coins, you know, let me know what I'm getting. And no, that's not how an intelligent investor does it. And we do not let you do that. So if you're not willing to learn about the coins that you're buying, maybe you should find another coin firm. Don't call this one, because we're going to insist that you know why and how a coin is rare. And once you know that, then I think you can take that knowledge into the marketplace and make intelligent investment decisions.
Aha, what a concept, intelligent investment decisions. I've known Andrew for 25 years. He's the real deal. His company, STL, 800-468-2646. Give him a call if you're interested. 800-468-2646.
To me like I'm a two-year-old, okay? Because there's an element to this thing I just cannot get through my thick head.
Well, you know, see, that's why we're here. We're just trying to figure this stuff out. Dr. Richard Ulrey, Minerals for the Genetic Code. And what's your new book they're working on? What's it going to be called?
I've got two books that I'm going to be releasing relatively quick. The one that's taken me most of my professional life to finish, it's called Minerals for Acupuncture Meridian, which is an extreme in-depth understanding and a better explanation of from Minerals for the Genetic Code. And then I believe I got the name of the next one down. It's called The Chiropractor's Handbook and Metabolomic of Cerebral Spinal Fluid. Now, the word metabolomic means all the gene activity based around a compound that you're looking at. So if we looked at every compound in cerebral spinal fluid and then line up every gene that's affiliated with it and take out the duplications, because a lot of things use the same gene, we end up with 7,800 genes that can be altered from a chiropractic treatment. I would like to see every chiropractor be more, how would I say this, nutritionally minded, because we're responsible for a person's health through adjustments to the spine and the movement of cerebral spinal fluid. And I'm going to try to allow every chiropractor the ability to gain the knowledge of what's in that fluid in ways that they could non-invasively test people, such as hair tissue analysis.
That's a great thing. So the spinal fluid stuff, so it goes from the brain down the spine. Where does it go from there? Does it go back up?
It goes out your lymphatic system.
Your lymph system.
It goes into the lymph, and it is replenished every 8 hours.
So when I jump on the rebounder and do my little lymph system thing, am I pumping that spinal fluid? Is that what it's doing?
Just the pure act of breathing pumps the cerebral spinal fluid. There's many people that know the occipital sacral technique, or sure. There are many different names that people and employ different techniques to get this fluid moving and getting it moving so that it's rhythmic and it's working right. To me, I'm interested. I mean, I look at this. Energy equals mass times the speed of light. And when I have a patient that lays down and has asked me to work on them, I not only have the cerebral spinal fluid there at, we have the intent of helping somebody. And when I do the chiropractic adjustment, whether it makes noise or not, I am indeed applying energy to this system. And at the speed of light, I can change the way that person functions. And people sometimes get up and have immediate responses, and people don't understand this. They go, "You got it. I know exactly. I'm good. I'll see you." Because they sense that pressure is normalized. Other times you have to do this again and again and again, because you're trying to get bad genes that have been triggered on to shut off and the good genes that aren't working turned back on, so we can control inflammation throughout the body.
And the cerebral spinal fluid plays a role in that, about 20% of the whole system.
Well, you've got this energy equals mass times the speed of light, and we apply energy to the body. This is a form of strong energy, which then generates weak magnetic fields. So you're affecting every part of that person with the signal movement of a vertebrae anywhere in the spine.
Wow. So a lot of the upper cervical people feel like if you just do that, everything else will fall into place. What do you think?
Well, the ability of the brain to create this fluid cannot be hindered coming down the spine. And since you have a 12 to 15 pound skull sitting on 7 ounces of vertebrae, if you get that upper neck messed up at all, that fluid may not be moving down the spine at the appropriate pressure. And if it's not moving out of the spine, it's building up in the brain. And yeah, you can make a heck of a good living off of just moving the upper neck bones. You have the NUCA doctors who specialize.
Yeah.
And when you ever get a treatment from a NUCA doctor, you're going, "Well, what a farce this is," because you don't feel the traditional click. You don't feel the traditional chiropractic bone movements, yet they get fantastic results.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Go ahead.
No, I think, you know, every chiropractor has their niche.
Yeah.
When I went to chiropractic school, I says, "Why does this stuff work?" And they go, "Ah, not really too sure. Don't worry about it. Find a technique, make a good living, and enjoy your life." And I go, "I don't think I'm going to enjoy my life unless I know how this stuff works." I don't like doing things to people going, "I don't know how it works, but it does." I mean, that's just not how I've ever been, and it's taken me a lot of years to get to the level of understanding what a chiropractic treatment is and does. And this is why I write these books, because I've taken, anybody can be an expert at anything if you put 30, 40,000 hours into the same thing, and I've got 37 years into understanding chiropractic, experiencing it every day of my life, giving thousands and thousands and thousands of adjustments, and then seeing how people respond. and you know, using vitamins, using minerals, using testing analysis, you gain a database and a repertoire within your mind. And I want to share that with the youngins. Is if the older people like you and I don't share, how do the younger people learn?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of Dr. Roy Sweat out of...
Roy Sweat, yes, Roy Sweat.
Roy Sweat, yeah. We had him on the show, I think, about a year ago. Well, no, 3 or 4 months ago. And he's into this Atlas Orthogonal Chiropractic, which he says is kind of a step up from the knee, chest, upper cervical that B.J. Palmer used to do. And pretty cool stuff. Have you ever messed around with that, the Atlas Orthogonal Chiropractic?
No, I don't know. I know of Roy, and I know he's a friend of mine. I was in chiropractic school, actually claims he knows him. And he used to go, I think it was down to either Sherman or Life Chiropractic College.
Yeah.
And he'd go in and he would do the dissections and show them how everything is working. And in his mind, this is why the C1 adjustment was so, you know, powerful.
Mm-hmm.
To me, every different vertebrae in the spine is just as important.
Just as important. Well, I've got the show with him. If you'd like to just put SWEAT in our search engine, and you might want to listen to it. It was great. I think about 70, I see that he's been in business for like 50 years or something like that.
Oh, yeah. He's been around a long time.
It's crazy, yeah.
He was in practice writing when I was in chiropractic school, and I was in chiropractic school in the late 70s. Uh-huh.
We have an email here that we'll put on the show page. It's vitamins.rich@gmail.com. If you want to get a hair analysis through Dr. Ulrey, that might be a fun thing to do. Do you still do the kind of the back of the neck thing? Is that where you take them? Is the classic way?
The classical way to find out what your body has been excreting for the past three months, mm-hmm. is off the back of the neck. You know, you start getting it too far away, you could be picking up environmental factors, although environmental factors are really critical, because I've done hair tests that go either you have hemochromatosis or you have iron in the water.
Wow.
Well, I got iron in the water. I said, well, okay, we don't look at this high iron content in your hair. And other times I pick up arsenic and I go, look, you're not supposed to have arsenic in anything, and it's in your hair in red lines amounts. Is it 100% accurate? I don't know, but I'll tell you what, if I see a lot of arsenic in the water, I got to be an investigator and I have to find where it's coming from. So I'll say to a person, I said, someone else in your family has to be tested. Why? I said, well, if they've got high arsenic, we got to know where it's coming from. And when we get that test back and that arsenic is present, then we know that family has high arsenic. So we test the water. And water and arsenic is a huge problem.
Wow.
It's estimated 9 million families don't know they have arsenic in their drinking water. So we'll get the water tested, and then we start condemning the wells. You've got to get filters. You can't. Well, it takes the energy out of the life when we run all these filters. I go, look, and taking the energy out of the water is one thing. Consuming arsenic, knowing you're going to get these forms of cancer, is something else. Now, you want to play your game and go ahead and get some cancer, I'll try to help you get out of it, but we're still going to have to get the arsenic out of you one way or another.
And there's always a way to revitalize the water with like even Living Streams, so multi-blend, and you can structure the water with machine. You know, there's a lot of things you can do to liven up the water again, right?
You can pray over the water.
You can pray, energy, yeah, you can do that. You know,
that's right.
Right, God on the water, right, love on the water bottle in the works, you know.
Just don't put Hitler under it.
No, you know, we're trying to cut down on Adolf, you know. I don't want Adolf water, man.
No.
I don't want any, okay, you know.